Factus Radio. Factus Radio. FM 104.6, bringing the island's community together.
I'm here in the lovely Yorkshire town of
Halifax, yeah,
with Bob and Carol Bridgestock. And we're going to be talking about their new book, which was called, hold on a sec, I just read it.
When a Killer Strikes.
So how long did it take you to write this book after you've written the first seven?
It took us about a year, Maggie. It usually takes us about a year from start to finish writing a book. Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
And was it, I know I've read the book, so I'm not going to give away the end, because that would be... not very good, would it? But it was excellent. I gave it 5 stars. And of course, Dylan is in it.
Thank you for giving it 5 stars, Maggie. And welcome to Yorkshire. It's a bit colder than the south, but we've relocated, as a lot of people know, for family reasons. And the story goes on. We're still writing, still busy. But like Carl says, yeah, it still takes a year. Is it easier to write? No, they get harder. You know, as the series go on, I think... You know, to keep it going and keep the momentum, they do get harder. And I think we tighten up on everything we can do. So, we've got, like, you've given us 5 stars. We've got great 5-star reviews. And the bloggers that came out are the people that looked at it independently, give it 5 stars. So, yeah, it's good. So, we're still writing.
I quite enjoyed writing the family saga on this one. Because you know that we turn sort of fact to fiction,
especially in
the family life. And Bob actually lived in the old station house, which we talk about, or I talk about, and the family on the family saga. And so that house has got quite a lot of history to it in real life. So it's the old station house at Ovenden that I'm writing about.
Oh.
And the ghosts that actually, you know, exist there, supposedly. And a lot of things that happened there to Bob, and his dad, for instance, was a photographer in his spare time. And, you know, I've been able to talk to the family about it, and it's been really nice.
That's good, though, isn't it? Because I understand you write the stories from fact, but you change... the characters around and whatever, because you know precisely what you're talking about. Do you find that difficult, or do you find it cathartic?
And I think it's very important, because the last thing we want to do is upset anybody by telling the story of a true life crime.
Absolutely.
For the simple fact that if we were doing that, we'd just write the factual event. And we don't do that, but they say write about what you know, and that's what we do. And this latest one, When a Killer Strikes, is it never used to be occur so often. Murders used to be very, very rare indeed. Nowadays, sadly, it's almost 2 a day in the UK, which is a heck of a lot. So more nowadays than it ever did before is it's going to happen, and it's going to happen close by, where people used to read it and think, oh, well, it doesn't happen around here.
Yeah.
And when it does, it comes as a shock. And when it happens, and in the story, without giving it away, like you say, it's about what happens to the community, what happens to people. People tell you, and this is true life, in fact, that people say, well, must be boyfriend, must be husband, must be landlord. And we've seen it. History tells you that no matter who the person is, the evidence convicts a person, not the media, not everybody else, and we get it wrong. And the book's about all the issues affecting everybody. A person looks odd, does it make him a murderer? You know, their eyebrows joined in the middle, that must be suspicious. It's that kind of thing that people say, or people say, oh, well, he's always been strange. People are who they are.
Absolutely.
It doesn't make them murderers. And I think, you know, as I think as time goes on in the books, we try to explore different avenues and really look at how people deal with it. I think it's people's reaction when it does happen nearby.
But it's not just that, is it? It's the attention to detail. Like the folder that Dylan has to have all... He has to record everything.
Yeah, and I think that's the other thing, the detail, because give our readers credit. We don't short sell them, and I wouldn't want to do. It's about keeping it up to date, right on the money when it comes to the cutting edge. So from that point of view, when they read the books, they can really understand that what they're getting, that's what it happens. You know, I'm writing one at the moment about fingerprints, and people might not know your fingerprints are the last thing that on a body will be the last thing to disappear, and they're unique, as unique as DNA, if not more so, because twins don't even have the same fingerprints. So like 1 in 64 billion. So it's that kind of information we try to weave in amongst, and the humour, dark humour sometimes, but it's that kind of thing we like to explore. But it's hard, yeah, writing 100,000 words.
I'm sure it is.
And making it interesting, but...
But reading it, you can hear Carol's voice, you can hear Bob's voice, but I can anyway, coming out in it.
Yeah, I mean, like I say, we do try to put ourselves... I very much... Bob, as you know, Maggie, when he actually gives me the story from start to finish, as you know, from finding the body, and then I make that the person who's died live, if that makes sense, yeah, before they die. Yeah. So that they have a story, they have a background, and as I'm writing it, I'm speaking the speech, if you like, just how Bob would say it, or just, yeah, how I would say, yeah, it. And then when Bob reads it back, he'll say, I won't say that. So I'll say, well, say it how you do then.
No, but when you read it, you can just hear Bob
saying it.
I can anyway.
Yeah. A lot of people say what you, yeah, say. Having, yeah, met us.
Yeah.
Even at book signings at Waterstone, people said, having met you and then read the book, you know, your next book, and now get it. Yeah. I picture both of you within the story. So from that point of view, that's our dog in the background, don't worry about that. people say, I can actually picture you both now, and it's as though it's completed a piece of a jigsaw for them to actually meeting you.
But we're watching you on that CSI...
Yeah, the CBS reality.
That's the one.
Yeah.
And
written in blood.
It was, and it was excellent. You were both excellent on there. But interesting question that Bob came up with was always to ask... Why would they do that?
Yeah. And sometimes we know, and again, we know hindsight's a wonderful thing, and we learn from what we read here. History is a wonderful thing, and we go back and we rely on, you know, information that's happened and things that tell us. Sometimes, like the psychopath, you can never understand why would a person kill somebody for £5? Why would a person kill somebody randomly? We can never get into the mind of these kinds of people, because our minds don't work. You know, 99% of the population's minds don't work like
that.
That's
just as well.
And it's a good job, yeah. But to actually write, to try and explain it, sometimes you never know why.
No.
And sometimes, you know, it's for families really to get some closure. The arrest and conviction of somebody, the family served the life sentence. It's not the, you know, and there's no winners. The prisoner goes away for 15 years, they might be released. The person they killed is never going to live a life. They're going to live some kind of life. So, mm-hmm. And it's the families that suffer. So what we try to explain is, if there is a reason for it, we tell them. If there isn't, sometimes you just have to leave it. And unknown, and only the only individual that know is when he committed it, why they did it.
I think that's like you say, though, in real life, when you're actually telling a victim's family, or if you're talking to a victim's family, then you're actually telling them the truth, and that's what we do in the books. Mm. You know, you can't skirt over what's happened. You have to, you know, they're going to find out at the inquest what's happened from, you know.
So it's no use saying something isn't true.
And police interviews are a place, really, police interviews these days are not to get an admission. It's for to let the person actually tell you why and what for, and to understand, or where they've hidden something, whether that be the body or evidence. But it's that kind of interview where you want them to explain the reasons to you, and sometimes they do.
Yeah, sometimes they like talking.
They like to tell you.
To tell you.
Why they've done it, because they wanted to and they could do. Mm. Other times they'll say, well, it just happened, I didn't know what to do, I panicked. And other times they say, well, somebody paid me. You know.
Simple as that.
It's as simple as that, but at least you understand then why, whereas some people never tell you why.
No.
You know, I mean, it's so difficult.
I think that's why a lot of writers actually do look at real life cases, though, And because, you know, you could never put yourself in that mindset of a killer.
No,
so therefore, they do look at old cases, you know, and that's what came out in Written in Blood.
Yeah.
If you watch the other people that was on with us, they all are inspired by different crimes.
Yeah.
So therefore, you know, and you can see where how they write the books by... you know, by reading about or researching crimes, like Howard did the Moors murderers. Howard Lewinsky. And and he did them, and, you know, his knowledge of that crime is very good because that's how much he researched it.
Yeah.
What the thing that we don't have to do is actually do that,
not
because
been there,
we've been
done
there, done it, bought the T-shirt,
yeah,
if you like.
You still
so,
need to check on, you know, all the information up to date. Forensic changes on a daily basis.
Yeah.
But, you know, for a police procedure, it's got to be right. Otherwise, yeah, we'd be shooting ourselves in the foot. But CBS Reality was great because the simple fact, we stood there with what they call the top 10 international authors. We were asked to do it, and we pulled in the second highest view figures, which
well
was
done,
absolutely fabulous for us.
170,000 viewers.
Plus.
Wow.
And what
and
was
it's
really,
being shown again now all the time, isn't it? So.
What was really impressive was the fact that the guy said that there was more people watching it as it went on. So basically, during the hour, people were switching on, and the figures weren't going down. So apparently, I mean, I don't know, because I don't know
they
how the ratings. Obviously, yeah, people were actually joining in rather than turning off, which has got to be a good.
Yeah.
But a message to the listeners on the Isle of Wight: we suddenly disappeared. It seemed that to happen so quickly. We never got to say goodbye to everybody. we haven't forgotten the Isle of Wight, and we still have contact with her.
And we still have
patrons. We still have patrons for the Society of the Blind, and don't forget the Christmas writing competition that they still do, with our great support, and wish them all the success. And great success for Vectis Radio. Absolutely fabulous. A lot of hard work. I know how hard you've worked, everybody, the team there. So an absolute credit to you.
Thank you very much. So thank you for the interview.
Thank you, Maggie. Thanks for coming to see us.
Vectis Radio, FM 104.6, Isle of Wight's community station.